Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for this afternoon's show, Fasting in the Month of Ramadan While Feasting on the Quran. This program is being hosted by Mark Shaheed, and he will explore the benefits of Ramadan in the month that commemorates the revelation of the Quran, which has first revealed in this particular month, the blessed month of Ramadan. I'd like to bring to you your host for today's show, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak.
Alaikum assalam, Ramadan Mubarak to you, Rashid Salam. And to our very distinguished, esteemed radio listening audience of IWDN Radio. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed in this blessed month of Ramadan, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and his generous messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I am the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And would like to extend the greetings of peace to our national and international audience, the peace that only Almighty God Allah can give, that becomes an obligation on the giver as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace. Wa assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak. And for those of you that are tuned in and listening in, know that the MGM Roundtable for the month of Ramadan, this blessed month of Ramadan, has been moved to Saturday afternoon. Yes, Saturday afternoon, to accommodate the believers in being able to break their fast in the evening, especially those that reside in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. So we looked at the schedule and thought that this was the best time to have the MGM Roundtable. And for those of you who have tuned in for years, even on the sister station AM 360 Radio, know I'd like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed persons inside the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, also outside of the community, but also topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less today, as we have returning one of our very scholarly learned imams in the Association of Imam W.D. Muhammad, who is the Midwest convener and also the national convener of imams, my good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, who has been on the roundtable more than any guest that I've ever had on the roundtable. And I've had a lot of very distinguished, esteemed guests at the roundtable. And this is the fifth year that I have hosted this roundtable in the month of Ramadan with the theme Fasting in the Month of Ramadan While Feasting on the Quran. And so it gives me great honor to introduce and to extend the greetings of peace to my good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak to you, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali.
Wa alaikum assalam and Ramadan Mubarak to my dear friend, my dear brother.
Alhamdulillah. You know, Dr. Bashir Ali, it's always an honor to have you on the MGM Roundtable, but it's even more an honor to have you on at this blessed time for Muslims worldwide, as we all acknowledging this blessed month of Ramadan, and we're going to talk a little bit in terms of why it is truly a blessed month in all, and to have this conversation, as I said about 5 years ago, about put it on my heart, you know, after Salatul Fajr about 5 years ago, and it's just sitting in solitude and thinking, wow, we're fasting for 29, 30 days and all, and at the same time, we are actually fasting, you know, we are actually reading the Quran. And so I was able to see that by reading the Quran, it's like a feeding. But it was even more than a feeding. It was like a table spread. was of the Quran, a table spread of a variety of things in terms of giving us instructing signs and guidance and you know, and distinguishing the right and the wrong, and we're going to be talking about today in this dialogue or this theme, but also subject in terms of fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. So I just accepted this as, well, alhamdulillah, you know, this is going to be the theme always for the month of Ramadan as long as I host the roundtable. As you know, I used to host the CWSC roundtable, and now it's the MGM roundtable, the Muslim Global Message roundtable. So this message not only goes out to not only Muslims, but those who want to learn more about our religion and our way of life, but also to the international community and in terms of fasting while feasting on the Quran, and that's exactly as I see it. So let's get into this today, Dr. Bashir Ali, and let's start with the Quran in terms of where we first get the revelation in Surah Baqarah. This is probably an ayat that probably has been used in much this year in many of the khutbahs in terms of Allah saying, "Oh, you who believe, you know, that fasting is prescribed, and as Imam Muhammad prescribed and inscribed to you, as it was prescribed and inscribed for those before you, that you could learn self-restraint." And we know that the Quranic Arabia is tatakun, which is a derivative of taqwa, you know. So when we look at that from what Imam Muhammad has said to us, so that you may learn to be more God-conscious, and then if you look at that again, you can see that the self-restraint, self-management, self-control, and self-discipline becomes a byproduct of being more consciously regardful of Almighty God, Allah. So this is prescribed, but it's also inscribed upon the very future original nature. And this is not something new. Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, please, if you would, give us some opening statements, if you would, on the theme itself and also this very, very substantive instructing ayat in the Quran. And once again, welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear brother. Yes, thank you so much. And as always, it's always an honor and a pleasure to be with you and your radio audience, as well as the believers including the believers. Let me say that, including believers. I know your radio audience is worldwide, and it casts a wide net. So this is a blessed month for all of us, and we thank Allah for the opportunity. Yes, the ayat you just referenced ends, you know, it says we have prescribed for you the Siyam as we have done to those before you, la'allakum taqtakum, that you may come into this concept of taqwa, la'allakum taqtakum. And as you said, you know, Imam Muhammad gives us his concept of consciousness, God consciousness. I also like to add the concept of conscientiousness, right? Consciousness and conscientiousness, they're similar concepts. One is an awareness, and one is a purpose-driven idea in our minds. So we thank Allah for this revelation, and for the believer, it reminds us that there's a sense of purpose to what we do. Awareness and a sense of purpose, and that purpose is to please Allah, and to observe the obligations of our deen. But that sense of purpose also takes us to a higher state of consciousness, that brings us a personal, and later on, because I'm looking at the life of the Prophet, right?
Yes.
You know, the life of the Prophet is our model, right?
Yes.
His own God consciousness took him to the cave. His own God consciousness took him to the cave. His own sense of reflection, because this word, taqtakum, is really in the present tense of form 8, which is reflexive or eternal, internal, right? It's internal reflective condition for the human being. So the human being is reflecting upon something.
Yes.
And as the Prophet went to the cave to reflect, and the purity of his heart, the purity of his intentions, the purity of his own soul, allowed the revelation from him, brought out that revelation. And that revelation, as we saw, carried a sense of purpose to it.
Yes.
It had a mission in it, and had a sense of purpose. And that purpose was transformational. It transformed his life. And it transformed everyone around him. It ultimately transformed the society. It ultimately transformed the world. That's the power that we're talking about. And that's what we're celebrating this month.
Alhamdulillah. No, I just say takbir, Allah wa Akbar. Yeah, thank you for that. I mean, you know, that's very, very substantive, valuable information in terms of how you're expanding that into that consciousness, and it brings about a conscious sense in terms of purpose. I may also want to add that by having that, it brings about a sensitivity, as you said, so eloquently articulated, the Prophet Muhammad being the model, the model for all human beings, the excellent model, his uswa, you know, just, you know, he and Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, and speaking about that, in the time in which he lived, in terms of Jahiliyyah, as we know, is darkness and ignorance, and all. But the sensitivity, obviously, Dr. Bashir Ali, that comes along with that consciousness and the conscious that led him to the cave, led him to think, to reflect. Obviously, we just have to use imagination that he, in his soul, if you will, knew that this wasn't right. But he didn't have any guidance. He didn't have any direction for correction, if you will, in that regard. But look what happened. Look what happened. To and for him, and then look what happened to and for not only the people at that time, but as you say, what has happened in being transformational for all of us. And this truly, truly is a blessed month, and this is what distinguishes. I want to say this, and you can comment on it, this is what distinguishes Ramadan in the Hijra calendar from all the rest of the months. This is what makes it a blessed month, because this is the month in which the Quran came down to and for Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and he became the Rasul, the messenger of Allah. Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, you'd like to add some more to that?
Oh, yeah, oh, of course. We always have such a good time when we have these conversations like this.
Yes, right? Yes.
No, I mean, I just all I can do is add, because it's a beautiful, beautiful conversation. And as you said, our prophet received this revelation during this month. And we actually celebrate the two for particularly from people of our community. Imam has brought us to the consciousness of two days that kind of highlight the month, Laylatul Qadr and Eid al-Fitr, right?
Yes.
The Qadr and the Fitra, right? The Qadr and the Fitra. So
yes.
The night the prophet received the revelation, we call Laylatul Qadr. And that concept is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Qadr is two concepts, power and destiny, right?
That's
power,
right.
And destiny. And the power was the word of Allah igniting inside of the prophet, right? That Allah was igniting his word inside of our prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And that word was able to connect for all of humanity, three realities: the material, the human, and the spiritual.
Yes.
The material, the human, and the spiritual. And Imam Muhammad said that concept of read in the name of our Rabb that created really connected human being back to his fitra, right?
Yes.
Back to the beautiful origin of his nature. And was able to make the connection between the material, the human, and spiritual. It says, you said, created you from a clot and then taught you the use of the pen.
Mm-hmm.
So these two powerful concepts, the clot represents our material origin, right? The clot represents this citra nature, this original nature that Allah is bringing, this beautiful, pure nature that Allah is evolving. And then our destiny is a higher destiny, is one of this higher consciousness, to be able to use abstract knowledge to go from a material being out of this material creation, and with this beautiful human nature, and Allah can evolve this human mind through these beautiful faculties of mental, moral, spiritual capabilities into a higher consciousness, the use of the pen. Meaning using abstract knowledge to elevate our mind and elevate our consciousness. So that's the beauty. That's the power, right? That's the power. Allah is bringing out of the human being to our prophet, peace and blessing be upon him.
You know, alhamdulillah, no, that is, for those who don't know, alhamdulillah is that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost. And I say, you know, that's a beautiful, beautiful what you have given in regards to that. And, you know, in those first five ayats, you know, Imam Muhammad also, he taught, you know, that Iqra, which is often expressed as read, you know, read. And so we want our listeners, and I know we have some new Shahadas are listening today, because we invited some new Shahadas, Dr. Bashir Ali, some new Shahadas. And we also have in our radio listening audience non-Muslims, but they're interested, you understand, in this particular theme and topic, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. And so it has to be said, and need to be said, that the Quran was not present, not in written form. I'm going to say it again. The Quran was not present and in written form when this first revelation came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, read in the name of your Lord who creates. Imam Muhammad said that all the 99 known attributes, I don't say 99 attributes because we can never limit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, with a limit in terms of number, but those that are known, he said the one most important is alcoholic. Alcoholic. Alcoholic means the creator. So read in the name of your Lord who creates. And actually the instructing sign here is to read the natural creation. You know, as a student of Imam Muhammad, he also said that this was a general reading in pointing the Prophet Muhammad, you know, to the big book, as he called it, the big book, the natural creation. And then he goes on to say, who created you from of a congealed blood adhering. He said, now Allah takes the Prophet Muhammad specifically to our own creation as a human being. And then read and know your Lord is most bountiful, bountiful in terms of being the creator and his creation, bountiful. And who taught you? He said, who taught you the use of the pen? Now, when Imam Muhammad gets to this, he tells us, he says, you know, taught you the use of the pen. Well, what was the first pen? And who was the one that was the penman, if you will? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he writes and inscribes in his natural creation. He writes, you understand, in his creation, the signs in terms of what we have been reading in the Quran, we've been reading our juice, there are signs in this natural creation, you understand? And Allah wrote that in his natural creation so that man would be able to read and then be able to record what it is he read. And then lastly, Allah says, and taught you what you was not yet knowing. So one of the things in terms of Rab, you know, Dr. Bashir Ali, the Imam Muhammad gave a definition to that many of us never heard before, you know, in terms of teacher who taught you. So Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the first teacher for his human creation. And this is given in the first five ayats of the Quran. Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, any comments you'd like to make in regards to that?
Beautiful, 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 my dear brother. And let's just drill down on that concept, those concepts you just outlined and articulated. This concept of Rab, as you said, Imam, has given us a very rich meaning. Rab,
yes.
You know, one teacher, because Allah is, read the Iqra, the command form of read, right, the Qara'ah, and the word Iqra is so important, the whole Quran was named after this concept, right? It's from the word Qara'ah.
Yes,
so
that's right.
The entire book is named from the command, right?
Yes. That should be read.
Yeah, exactly. So Allah was unveiling the reading to him, right? He was unveiling the reading to the prophet, and it was done in a command form, and it was done from the Rab who created, right? The Rab who created. And this Rab is a rich term. You said Imam mentioned in terms of teacher, also mentioned as garden evolver, right?
Yes.
And one who is unfolding something to humanity.
Yes.
Is evolving us in a consciousness, right? Through our reading, through this reading process. It's unfolding something to us. And it's like the human mind is developing, right? He's developing our consciousness. He's developing because we can't get it all in one time. You know, the creation is too big, it's too vast. And Allah's reality is too big. So in his mercy, He has to unfold it to us gradually.
Yes.
He has to evolve us into the consciousness. And so it's about really reminding us of this connection with this bigger reality. And that is so important. And let me say this from Imam Muhammad's thinking and logic and madhhab, right?
Mm-hmm.
This connection to Allah's creation is very, very important because it helps us understand reality from a merciful perspective. The
yes.
word, you know, Allah says He created the heavens and the earth bilhaq, in truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
and there's these dimensions of truth Allah gives us in the Quran. Allah is al-haq.
Yes.
He created the heavens and the earth bilhaq, in truth. His word is al-haq, right? And
yes.
so and Imam Muhammad said that this metaphorical, allegorical concept of Allah's creating man, Adam, in another allegory of the Quran with his two hands, right? and he talks about
yes.
these two hands being one of creation and one of revelation.
Yes,
it's shaping
yes.
our consciousness. So this idea of creation and revelation shaping our consciousness, this is so important for us as Muslims to understand that Allah is giving us a benchmark.
Yes.
That's all around us all the time. That's unfolding. The creation is still unfolding to the scholarly mind, to the inquiring mind, to the believers.
Mm-hmm.
The creation is still unfolding, but that creation is a benchmark for reality for us. So Allah in His mercy is always teaching us all the time in both
yeah.
the creation and in the revelation, and they connect. They're one. So the harmony of creation and revelation are one. And that's what that becomes our benchmark to against people who are bringing us sometimes interpretations that take us off in crazy directions. So Allah says, so Allah in His mercy gives you that benchmark all the time to measure other people's insights and understandings as well.
Well, I said takbir, Allahu Akbar to all of that you said. You know, you I'm St. Louis by way of Mississippi, Dr. Bashir Ali, and so we would say down south, you said a mouthful there, brother. and I concur with everything that you said, and I think it's noteworthy to our radio listening audience that the way Dr. Bashir Ali gave it, we should really, really reflect on that and say what Allah's two hands. Allah does not have hands like
right.
we have hands.
Right.
He creates, you know, hands, you know, for the human creation. And there's some animals that actually have hands and some have feet, paws or what. But when we speak about hands, in terms of Allah, we need to be very, very clear here. The hands, as Imam Muhammad has taught us, these are the means in which Allah teaches us. And He teaches us through those two sources He creates, and He's the author of. That's the natural creation, and that is revelation, just as Dr. Bashir Ali has given it to us. And they don't conflict. Matter of fact, it was Imam Muhammad that once raised up the Quran and said, this is the little book
right.
that points us to the big book.
Right.
And also something very important that you said, Dr. Bashir Ali, these are the two mercies that
yes.
Imam Muhammad takes us back to the opening surah or chapter of the Quran, Al-Fatiha. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with God's name. What's God's name? What's introduced in Al-Fatiha is very important. The two mercies, Al-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Al-Rahman is that Allah is the most merciful benefactor in that He is the creator of the natural creation. The whole of the universe, the whole of the natural creation was created for His human creation, for the intellect. The intellect, very, very important. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Hadith Qudsi, it said that Allah revealed to him that the most useful and most beneficial thing that Allah created was the aql, oftentimes translated as the human brain or the intellect, which actually has the ability, by Allah's permission and leave, to engage the natural creation and to be able to extrapolate from this natural creation benefits. Also, it's a mercy. It becomes a mercy to us because when we feast on the Quran, as we've been reading our juice every day, what is really, I won't say ironic, but miraculous about this, if we're looking for a miracle, it is the Quran, because much that was revealed, Dr. Bashir Ali, I know you know this, is that much that was revealed over 1,400 years ago, man had not, the human, had not come into this al-haq, this truth, this reality in the natural creation. And there's so much, you know, just today in the Quranic reading in terms of the fly. Say you couldn't even get together. If you got the best of people to get together, they couldn't create the fly. Nor if the fly took something. We're talking about the fly. You could not get it back. So this book, in terms of revelation, is a mercy because once man begins to start thinking of himself and remembering not remembering Allah and thinking that he is the God because of what his discoveries is and began to act like he is the God, then it is revelation that comes along and actually reveals to him who God is. And it takes him back to the natural creation, and Allah will actually tell us in the Quran, did you do this? Did I do this? And who created this? Did you create this or did I create this? In all of this here, you the beneficiary of all this. I want to say to our radio listener, if you just tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. Yes, the MGM Roundtable, a special time, special date, during the blessed month of Ramadan. And I'm your host, Mark Shaheed. And for the fifth year in a row, it has been the theme at the Roundtable, whether on our sister station, AM 360, and now here on IWDM Radio, the theme is fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. And I have at the round table the most often frequent guest at the round table, one of our very scholarly learned imams, my good brother and friend, the national convener of imams, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, and providing some excellent commentary on this theme and subject. And so if you have a question, a comment, or if what you're hearing, if this is resonating with you, don't hesitate, don't deliberate, most certainly don't procrastinate, need to press 1. And we're very aware, at least I am very aware, that we have a whole lot of listeners listening in by way of the Internet, and I'm quite sure Dr. Bashir Ali would like to hear from you. And for you to be a participant in this dialogue, on this theme, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran, you do have to call into the station. Once again, that number is 714-816-4673, 714-816-4673. I hope you have your pen and pad and taking down these notes and that you will have a question or two or maybe a comment or just that this is resonating with you. So, Dr. Bashir Ali, before we go back to you, we just want to check the studio, and I'm hoping that everybody is just not in awe and just absorbing this information, that some questions and comments will come from this dialogue that we're having today So we go to Rashid Salam. Rashid Salam. Any hands in the air at this time?
At this moment, Mark, no, it's not. But, you know, if it's anything like what I'm doing right now, I'm feasting on the Quranic information. Let me give my brother the greetings. Nice to hear your voice again. We really missed you, so we look forward to the continuation of the program. I'm sure somebody's going to raise their hand pretty soon, Mark.
Oh, yeah, but that's okay. You know me. I don't run out of questions. This is not something new for Dr. Bashir Ali and myself in terms of this here. So hopefully they're taking good notes and all. But we invite you, if you like to ask a question or make a comment. You know, Dr. Bashir Ali, Allah has, you know, while we're actually fasting, let's talk a little bit about that in terms of fasting. It's a little bit deeper and more substantive than other fasts. There's all different types of fasts, and, you know, you're talking about purpose, and some people have different purpose for fasting. But this is a very special fast, and it's a prescription, and all of us at some point in time, we've gone to the doctor, those of us who lean more toward holistic health care, naturopathic, homeopathic, even those persons in that field will actually recommend or prescribe something for you depending on your health situation or what. And then they oftentimes they look for some type of feedback, if you will, in terms of are you responding to that prescription, or are you reacting to the prescription, responding being a positive and reacting being a negative, whereas that the prescription might have to be changed. It was a misdiagnosis or what particular prescription inscription that has been inscribed even upon the soul of the human being. We say, subhanAllah, that Allah does not, he's perfect and he does not make mistakes and errors. Talk a little bit about this, if you will, in terms of Siyam, fasting in the month of Ramadan. And this is tried and proven, and as you so eloquently articulated from the very beginning, how it actually moved the prophet into seclusion. But I want you to look at it from the perspective, if you will, that the five senses that are receptors that take in, as we've been talking about and you so eloquently talked about, this natural creation that the five senses take in and help to give us instructing signs or message that Allah has for us to enrich our lives and even how to make our world from that. All this can be proven that this is where man was able to get this body of knowledge from the natural creation. But our five senses have to be on fast too. Dr. Bashir Ali, your comments, please.
Well, my brother, that's a lot. So let me.
Take your time, brother. I may not be the best person for asking questions, but time and just dissect all of that if you can. The best ability. How many?
We always have a great time out there, but I just want to give my brother Rashid the greetings since he extended them to me, returned them to him. It's always good to talk to the team, the whole team. Bless your heart for everything you do as a team, and that's so important.
Yes, sir, we do.
I want to do that. And I also want to follow up on a comment that you made before when you were leading into Brother Rashid, and that was about before Allah revealed the Quran, because I'm gonna get to the point, but I just want to kind of add these other comments.
Yes,
before
sir.
Allah, you know, gave the prophet this revelation or touched the prophet's heart with this revelation, it was a Jahiliyyah society. You mentioned that.
Yes, sir.
But you know, history and is phenomenal. And Imam actually made note of this on several occasions, how the Quran was responsible for transforming their society into a knowledge society, right?
That's right.
We call it Medina Munawara, right?
Yes.
Medina, the city of enlightenment.
Yes.
Because something happened, something transformed. This revelation touched their hearts and made them thinkers. Made them scholars, made them scientists. And within 100+ years of this revelation, Muslims were igniting the Age of Enlightenment worldwide, right? They were responsible for the Renaissance. So for the next 700 years, Muslims led the world in medicine and science and astronomy and chemistry and mathematics, right?
Yes.
And this revelation was so powerful. It when it's Allah says read in the command form, and the believer is touched by that, the mind begins to open up and to absorb Allah's creation and to study it, right? And analyze it, and that brought about a whole transformation of humanity.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So I say that because when you said that they were Jahili, that sparked that thinking of mine about Imam's comment, and also the historical reality of
That's
what
right.
happened after that. Right? What happened after that? So
yes,
alhamdulillah, let's follow up on your last set of comments relative to the fasting, the five senses, and how you know how we deal with this as in a holistic context as believers, right? Because the fast touches us in three dimensions, that material, the human, and the spiritual, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a material dimension to the fast, meaning that we're abstaining from food and drink.
But yes.
That's the easiest part.
That's right.
You know, But here's the irony of it, right? For people who don't fast, that's the hardest part. It's, oh, my God. For the believer, that's the easiest part. Why? Because once you make that intention, once you make that intention to fast, Allah transforms your consciousness. And your consciousness speaks to your physical being. And your body is a Muslim. Your body submits. You know, I came into this community in 1970.
Yes, sir.
And you know, in the Nation of Islam, we had a certain way of fasting. That slightly different, but we were conscious of it. That was the thing. So, in one form or another, I've been fasting since 1970. Right? You know, we know the pure form that Allah brought us through our Imam. Through that transformation, but. It's so, the thing about fasting is your body will adapt.
That's right. That's right.
Over time, your body will adapt over the whole year. So your body will actually know when that fast is coming and begin to make accommodations. Your body physically begins to transform. And upon initiating the fast, there's a small period of adjustment. But then... If you fast with the right consciousness and understand the importance of proper nutrition and the proper balance of liquids and food in both, you know, suhoor and at iftar, you know, both suhoor and iftar, very important points of understanding of how to take that nutrition properly and in a very balanced way and holistically, as you said, don't eat any junk, right?
That's the material part.
Making sure you eat the best of food, the most nutritional value, right? the highest of truth and value, high, you know, a pure water, you know, don't drink a lot of junk. You know, you can't have a lot of, you know. So that consciousness, so it moves you to a consciousness of having the best diet. And your body then adapts to, I don't even get hungry during the day.
That's right. Me either.
Sometimes I get a little thirsty or a little tired. But that just reminds me that I'm fasting, right? Because otherwise I forget that I'm fasting because my body, I don't get hungry anymore, you know, because I know how to intake the right amount of foods and liquids in both in morning and in the evening to keep that balance going. And my body just cruises through the fast physically. The other dimension, the human dimension of the fast, and this is more challenging for people, right? What are you saying to people? What are you consuming in your mind, your heart, your soul, your spirit? Are you saying profane things? Are you getting the arguments? Are you being contentious with people? Are you acting in a harmonious way with your fellow human beings and in your relationships, right? Human beings are a part of our nature is this last nature, this loving social connections. So part of our human nature are these human relationships, and that's a part of the fast as well. So are you abstaining and acting in a peaceful, as the lamb, right? Are you bringing peace to your relationships, right?
That's right.
And sometimes that's harder than the physical.
That's harder than restraining from the food and the drink.
You're right. And then in the spiritual dimension of keeping your prayers and reading the word of Allah and, you know, and maintaining those things that keep us connected to a higher spirit and a higher consciousness. So, the material, the human, the spiritual are all in harmony, inshallah, during this month. And that's why it's such a blessed month, because we try to keep these dimensions of our own humanity in harmony as we proceed with the fast.
And that's beautiful. I say alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. No, that's beautiful. You know, and when you look at that from that perspective, those three in terms of the material, the human, and the spiritual. And, you know, in the process of doing that, you know, and especially the last two, it becomes – in terms of looking at those five senses that are receptors, what are you listening most to? Or what is it that you should be listening most to? I mean, you know, in terms of the human qualities to be able to relate and to better communicate, if you will, and the spirituality, whereas the inanality is a play on reality, of the spirit, you know, as you mentioned, in terms of making the salat and having the spirit in terms of goodness, in terms of being even more charitable and all of that, you know. So I see that, you know, Dr. Ali, in terms of feasting on the Quran while we are fasting, that more attention, and we should always give our full attention. And Allah tells us that in the Quran, even when the Quran is being read or even heard in that regard. I think that it's in Surah 42, where Allah says, those who hearken unto their Lord. The hearken, I think the Quranic Arabia is ish tajabu, which means that you are to listen, but you are also, it means to listen and to respond. But it even tells how you should respond swiftly. So istajabu is to listen and respond swiftly to the commandments that Allah gives to us in the Quran in terms of actual command form. So if we are fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran, the correlation that I see is that those receptors, in terms of maybe say what you may would be listening to. I mean, this won't burn you if it don't concern you, but you said earlier, that consciousness is heightened in this blessed month. We should be listening more to Quran, reading more Quran, and the table spread is such a variety that it will help us. Allah describes the Quran as a healing. It becomes a healing, if you will, for many of us that may listen to things that are not halal. It may not be all halal that we listen to. But this, we got callers in the queue. Let me finish this statement.
Okay, great.
But this five senses, in terms of what it is we listen to, it this consciousness also comes with a sensitivity, you know, in terms of this taqwa, conscious regard for what God's word, will, and way is. It becomes an inward guarding consciousness. And so the receptors that Allah has given to us, they also are on the alert, you know, in terms of what type of spirit that we are taking in, you know, in terms of emblematic of the air and what it is that we desire. What it is that's coming from our mouth in terms of taste or experiencing, or what is protruding from that, being more conscious or regardful of our word, our tongue, and what it is that we're saying. And then finally, that fifth sense in terms of touch, what is that we are more in touch with in this blessed month of Ramadan? These are not questions that I'm asking you per se, but they are rhetorical questions so that we can see that the fast is even greater and deeper than just what, you know, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, when he gave those three in terms of the material, the human, and also the spiritual, because those last two, you understand, is what it is that we're taking in. We can't go into the blessed month of Ramadan one way and then come out the same way. It's transformational. We should go in, but we have to come out a better person, a better man, better woman, a better husband, better father, a better father, a better mother, a better family member, a better neighbor, a better community member, a better business person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'll stop there. Let's go to Rashid Salam. We got callers in the queue. We do advise you. You got a question or comment for our honored guest. That's Dr. Bashir Ali on this timely topic, theme, subject, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. Let's go, Rashid. Who we have up first?
Okay, we have 773-449. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from.
I might know that person.
I think you may.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Ramadan.
Muhammad, Amir Muhammad Shaheed. Oh, thank you, husband, and thank you, Dr. Bashir. This has been so wonderful. You're talking about a feast that feeds the soul. Everything that you all have said, it just so resonates with the spirit. And when you talk about our conscious development of our and evolving of the consciousness, you talk about the transformation, you talk about the purpose of our life and getting back to our natural origin and so much more. I mean, it's like I feel like I've been in a semester of school in just this short bit of time in a PhD class. It was so evolving, elevating. I tell you, absent of a conversation that makes a difference, and like I always say, what you don't know that you don't know, if you did, it'll make a difference. These are the conversations that make a difference in our life and transform and put us back where Allah originally created us to be, in our natural origin. I love hearing these conversations. I get so much out of when we do the juice in the morning. Oh my God, my spirit has just been so transformed in just these few weeks. I just thank Allah for blessing me and choosing me to be Muslim. And I know with that comes responsibility and accountability to Allah and to humanity, because to whom much is given, much is required to give. So I just thank the both of you for what you are sharing with us. today, tomorrow, the next day, forevermore. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, Rabbi. That's my sweetheart.
Yes.
Mayor Muhammad Shahid. So, alhamdulillah. Brother Imam, you want to respond to anything that she said?
Of course. Congratulations to my sister and to my brother.
She's been all fired up all day today.
Allah has brought about a beautiful match.
Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah. And I thank our dear sister, you know, beyond the congratulations to you both, I thank our sister for those beautiful comments and for the insightful the comments. She was able to summarize everything, some of the big things that we talked about. And I'll say this. You know, this Quran and particularly the insights from our imam will make you a PhD and meaning proper human development.
That's
right. So Allah gives us that proper human development from this Quran and from the insights from our mujahideen. So, yeah, we are PhDs. Pray be to Allah.
But you know what? Now we, tongue in cheek. You know, you and I, we laugh about that, but it's true. Dr. Bashir Ali said, because I know, my secular, I have those accreditations, and I don't have any degrees. I don't, people sometimes want to call me Imam, and I said, I let Imam. Dr. Bashir Ali called me the radio imam, but someone called me Sheikh, and I said, no, I'm just a milkshake, but I bear witness to what you're saying, because Imam Muhammad said, this is the highest knowledge that you can get.
Yeah.
And everything, when you understand it, you understand it, just what Dr. Bashir Ali just said a few minutes ago, this brought about a renaissance, and this is still opening up and still revealing continuously, depending on where you get your news from, they still are revealing. This creation, this natural creation that Allah has created, man is still uncovering. Man is still discovering in this natural creation.
Yeah.
It's just layers and layers and layers of knowledge. It's like he looked, he finds that. He writes that down. He communicates that. And then he look again. Oh, wait a minute. There's something more here.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So I say alhamdulillah. That's a big alhamdulillah. The praise and thanks belong to Allah first and foremost. As Dr. Bashir Ali has so eloquently articulated, Allah is still teaching us. And every time we open up the book, that which should be read. That's what the Quran is. That which should be read. That's how you define it. That which should be read. Yeah. And there's more and more. And there's layers and layers in the Quran. Always Allah says that he uses every similitude to teach you. And this is Allah's sunnah. This is his way. He tells us his way and all. There's much I can say about that. But Rashid Salam, are there any other callers with their hands in the air?
We sure do. We have one of our listeners who knows about the 650 number on the internet. Text my number and you get a chance to ask your questions. I have one of those texts that came in, but as you were speaking, I was just so something you mentioned earlier this morning that I just wanted to embellish, or you guys maybe could talk about when you say this book. There is no other book that you need to get an education than the Quran. And you just kind of alluded to it a little bit there. The unlimited information. If this book is for all time, what books should we be reading? You know, I just wanted to say that.
Dr. Bashirley, I did make that statement. So anything you like to say.
Yeah. Let me give you another question so you don't have to worry about coming back again. The question was, could you please say more about the five senses during the month of Ramadan? That's the other question that was texted in on the phone.
Please.
So this is somebody who's been listening for a while, so they know about
the five senses. Well, you know, I thought I said enough. I didn't want to go on and on in terms of the five senses. But, you know, Imam Muhammad have really, really drilled down on the five senses. And, you know, Allah tells us in the Quran, he says he's given every creature its provisions and four measures, that he has given us the provisions. And so when Allah gives us responsibility, as he's given the human being responsibility as Khalifa the Ark, you know, in terms of being free, but also responsible for himself, his creation, and all. And this is not a gender individual person like a male or what, understanding that it's a role and a responsibility. But when Allah creates, as Dr. Bashir Ali had alluded to when we was talking about Rab, that Imam also said that Rab means nourisher, sustainer. So he nourishes and he sustains what he creates. But in addition to that, he's the guardian or he's the protector of what he creates. And then even more importantly, we need to really get this and write it down, that not only he's the guardian evolver, meaning taking it from a state of immaturity to maturity. And this includes his human creation. And the means that it actually used is the natural creation and revelation. And so Allah speaks often in the Quran in terms of the faculties and the capacity that he's given to us for the responsibility that he has inscribed upon us. For example, Surah 16, Ayat 78 of the Quran that we read in the Jews a couple of days ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is he, Allah, who brings you forth from the wombs of your mother when you knew nothing. But is he Allah who gives you hearing, gives you seeing, gives you intelligence and affection and sensitivity that you may be grateful and thankful. Sadaq Allah Udeen, surely Allah has spoken the truth. So we come here, you know, Allah has always shown us our humble beginning, our humble beginning. We don't come here knowing anything. But Allah is telling us in this ayat, and there's other ayats in the Quran, and I'll pass it on to Imam Bashir Ali, but Allah is telling us, I give you these faculties. I give you hearing. I give you seeing. And notice that Imam Muhammad has taught us that in how the expression is put first, always hearing before seeing. And this was revealed even before, at that time, 1,400 years ago, as to what the senses developed first, seeing or hearing. So it's always stated in the Quran in terms of what developed first. It was hearing. And oftentimes this can be proven, that after the baby comes forth from the wombs of the mother and all the needs are met of that child, and that child is still disturbed, it's been proven that oftentimes you can lay the baby on the left breast where the heart is, and this becomes a calming for the child, a sense of peace for the child, where the child then, you know, may just fall asleep because it was used to hearing in that connection with the umbilical cord, the heartbeat of that mother. All of this here have been studied. This is not me saying this. It's just, you know, in terms of just, you know, study in terms of the Learning Lab, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that I and Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, we host on Wednesday. This is information that has been just studied in that regard. But Allah gives us intelligence, the intercommunication of the genes. The baby don't have to go, the human being don't have to go to nursing school. And also affection. Why affection and sensitivity? You can't be human without affection or sensitivity. That we may be grateful and thankful to Allah. So Allah gives us the provisions, and he gives all of his creature the needed and necessary provisions. That includes the human being. So these five senses, these are the receptors that Allah has given to us to take in for helping in terms of the guidance of our life. Just think that if we didn't have that, you know, I mean, can you imagine not having ears to be able to hear, or eyes to be able to see, a nose to be able to smell? We're just talking about base, just on the surface, or even having a mouth, but we couldn't taste. We could eat food, but we can't taste it. We don't have any taste to it. Or that we couldn't feel the touch. Social scientists say that all human beings should at least get 4 hugs a day to be healthy. I remember one sister told me years ago, she said, well, Brother Mark Shahid, I'm not married, so the only thing I can do is just give me a bigger pillow to hug. You see? But I'm just saying that, so hopefully, that would be helpful. Dr. Bashir Ali, I know you have something to say in regards to these five senses, you know. Matter of fact, Imam Muhammad even went further than that in terms of talking about the head itself and the seven gates. Maybe we'll have an opportunity to talk a little bit about the seven gates that can take you to the Jannah, the paradise, or it can take you to the Jahanna, which is the hellfire. And he described them. We know that when you say gates, they're openings, the apertures or openings, the two ears, two, the two eyes, four, the two openings of the nostrils, six. And then the other aperture opening is the mouth. All that's located, you know, on the face of the human being. And Imam Muhammad gave an excellent lecture on that in terms of the usage of it, in terms of actually what is being taken in, whether or not it can help us to take us to the Jannah, to the paradise, or to the Jahanna, which is the hellfire. Dr. Bashir Ali, any comments you'd like to make on that in regards to that question also?
Yeah, how much time do you want me to?
No. Take your time, brother. I mean, you know, I think the radio listening audience is enjoying this. I know Rashid Salam is about to come out of his skin there. And everything.
No, anytime Muslims talk and exchange, this is wata wasal bihaqi, right? This mutual exchange of truth and these connections with the al-haq, the truth. And I'll just add to everything you said. You did a beautiful job, my dear brother. I'll just add, Allah tells us in the Quran in Surah 32, Ayat 9, it says, then he proportioned him and breathed into him from his spirit, and made for you the hearing and the vision and then the word afidata. And this word afidata, we'll talk about that later, heart-mind-soul connection, right? So the hearing and the vision. So the hearing, it says, this is a special relationship with the human being. Allah says he breathed into him from his spirit. And Imam talked about that, right? This the spiritual development Allah gives us, this capacity Allah gives a human being that's connected to our hearing and our vision.
Yes.
And this hearing is on two dimensions, right? Is one, the dimension of us making connections with the outer world, right? But
yes,
it also,
sir.
We know the ear, and Imam made this connection for us, right? The word ear is the root word for hear and for heart. Right?
Yes.
It's the root word for hearing and for heart. And so
yes,
there's a connection between what goes into our ear and what we feel. And what we feel moves us, because human beings are moved by what touches their heart.
Yes.
So what we hear is very important to make sure that what goes into your ear is very, you have to, Imam says, words make people, right?
Words make people, that's.
And the two big vehicles for the words are the hearing and the vision, right? What we hear, what we see, are two big vehicles for the words that affect us. And so this idea of this, what touches our heart, what shapes our emotions, what drives our thinking through our feelings is extremely important for the Muslim to understand, right? And then I'll be brief about it, this idea of the vision, absara.
Yes.
Actually, in that particular ayat, it's in a plural form. It's in a plural form. So that's telling the thinker something. What there's not only one vision, there's vision on different planes or different levels, right? So
that's right.
We see with our eyes, but we also see with our minds. We understand things. So this is we have an eyesight that connects us with the physical creation that gives us cues about what's going on outside of us for our mind to process. But also there's another idea. Do you understand? Do you consider? Have you really grasped this idea?
Yes.
And then
yes,
that idea of this absara, this thing with our minds, we have our imagination, our creativity, our understanding, our intellect. All of those are shaped by that. And
come
then
on now.
This third dimension, this athirata, right? Which really represents this synthesis of the heart, mind, soul, right? So in Western thinking, you have the intellect, and people look at the intellect, they look at these other dimensions, but in Islam, they're not separate. They're all connected.
That's right.
Our heart, our minds, our souls are all connected. We just said, we just talked about, I don't want to go too far off, but I want to make a point. When people want to influence you, they don't influence you through your intellect. They influence you through your feelings.
That's right.
Your feelings then shape your intellect. Your rational mind can rationalize anything based upon how you feel sometimes.
That's right.
And so it's important to understand this sacred relationship of the heart, mind, soul. That's why Allah says he revealed it upon his heart.
On his heart.
Because that heart shapes would direct your mind to begin to process in the way that Allah has been has directed through his revelation. So this heart, mind, soul connection through this concept of fidata from the word fuad tells us that Allah is speaking to the human being in these multiple dimensions that are based in our senses. These multiple dimensions of knowledge, but also of heart, mind, soul that reach right into our soul. They're all connected, and we have to honor and respect all of them. And that's why Allah brings us to that consciousness in our fast, but also in our reading that is mandated by the revelation.
I said, Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, praise be Allah. No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. The connections that you made, really beautiful. You know, Imam Muhammad, in terms of this heart, being also pure intentions and motivation and what we and desire. He even once said to us, Dr. Bashir Ali, you may have heard it, he says, your brain, your mind is not even activated until what's in the heart. And I think this goes even to biblical scripture. I don't know where it is, but I remember as a boy, it says, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You see, to think it in the heart. And this is why the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has said that all matters and actions, you know, is judged, you know, by your niyyah, your intention, your motivation in regards. So we want to keep the heart pure. And most certainly, you know, the human, perfect human model for us, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a pure heart, pure intentions, motivation, desire. You know, the fitra was not stained, was not altered. And the natural curiosity that Allah puts in the human being to want to know. He was a perfect vessel. Matter of fact, Imam Muhammad went so far to say to us, he was such a perfect vessel that he emptied himself totally out. Just imagine you and I in that time. And like Dr. Bashir Ali had given in terms of even the mind, the creative part of the mind, imagination. You know, just imagine us in that time and everything and the impact that it could have had on us. But Allah extended his mercy and blessed Muhammad ibn Abdullah. I'm saying Muhammad ibn Abdullah before he became the prophet, in keeping his fitra intact, the original nature intact, and keeping his heart pure with the right intention to want to know. And it's imbued, as Imam Muhammad said, it's imbued in the original nature of servitude. And it's personified, you know, in Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, and wanting to know, who is my Lord and Creator? Who is it that I should be worshiping? Who is it that I should be serving? You know, what is my purpose in terms of being? You see, so this is something, you understand, that is in every human being, this fitra, which leads me to this question here, Dr. Bashir Ali, and if you can give more insight on it, that at the end of this fast, and it will end, we know that, as we was just at the midway point, as we began to fast, we cited the Hilal, the new moon, this past Wednesday, 2 weeks ago, and the actual fast began the next day, which was that Thursday. And we know that the fast, you know, the only time that we can begin the fast of Ramadan, or as a matter of fact, any of the months in the Hijra calendar, would have to be after Maghrib, or Maghrib, you know, to Maghrib, to be able to see in our own geographical location. And Imam Muhammad said we have to do that for ourselves. And I want to say at this point, I really want to thank you and others for being very diligent in following the lead of our teacher and leader in regards to that. But yesterday at Juma, I was saying, you know, as we were at the 16th day, and then in terms of looking at that 14 days later, it'd be 30 nights, and we have to really wait until that 30th night to see if the new Hilal, you know, one of the things that we need to understand, and of course we might not pay attention to the Hijra calendar like we really should, and inshallah we'll grow and develop to pay more attention. But all the months, including the month that comes after Ramadan, which is Shawwal, it comes in the same way. When you mean the same way, the sighting of the new Hilal, the new moon. So which meaning that 2 weeks from, you know, this past Thursday that a sighting will be made again. If, in fact, that there is a new Hillel, then that means that the next day will be Eid day, because then that would be the beginning of the new month Shawwal. But if, in fact, there's not a sighting, which means that we will fast that next day, which would be Salat Jummah day. And as you well know, Imam Bashir Ali, as long as you've been in the community and myself, that sometimes Eid day can fall on Salat Jummah day, but it never caused to eliminate Salat Jummah, but then that would be the Eid day. But if, in fact, there is no sighting, then we would fast that day, which would make it 30 days, and if not, then it would be 29 days. So if you would, Dr. Bashir Ali, talk a little bit as we wind down in terms at the end of this fast and this celebration that is named Eid al-Fitr, recurring happiness to the return of the original nature, if you would. Dr. Ali?
Yes, alhamdulillah, my brother. I just confirm everything you said. You did a beautiful job once again. I'll just confirm it exactly as you said it. You know, there's a process we all go through of sighting the moon, and we look once the moon has been sighted, that moving us into the month of Ramadan, we go through 29 days of fasting after the 29th day, which is the 30th night.
Yes, right.
And that's very important to understand. After 29 days, because remember, I know you know this, but it's for your radio audience.
Yeah.
The night precedes the day in Islamic.
That's right.
In Islamic thinking and the Islamic calendar. So
yes, sir.
The first night of Ramadan was Wednesday night. The first day of fasting was Thursday.
That's right.
So then we count using that methodology. We count the nights and the days. And so after 29 days of fasting, we go into the 30th night. And
that night
we look for the new moon or the hilal. And if it's not seen, we continue fasting that next day, which will make 30 complete days of fasting.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And then we will automatically celebrate the Eid after the 30 days of fasting.
That's right.
If it's excited that night, we stop fasting. And after then 29 days, but on the 30th night, but after 29 full days, then we would celebrate the Eid the next day. So you're absolutely correct. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Well, alhamdulillah. Well, you know, it's good, because I don't have Imam in front of my name, but alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me to be able to see and understand that. And the previous Imams, they would allow me on later to get the whiteboard out and break that down. And also in terms of, Ramadan, coming through all the seasons of approximately 33 years, a little under 33 years, for it to make that revolution and everything. And, our beloved leader and teacher, he was a leader and teacher for 33 years or so. So alhamdulillah, we have to learn these things, so we won't have to be asking, when does Ramadan start? When does Ramadan end? We should have a working knowledge of this, in the fact that we are in the blessed month of Ramadan. We should know.
Yes.
Should be able to have the formula. We should know the difference in the Hijra calendar and the Gregorian calendar. It is 11 days, unless in the Gregorian calendar is a fourth year, which is a leap year, where they add additional day. And all you got to do is just do the math. It'll give you the approximate time. And now we're moving more, you understand, you know, in terms of the spring, but as we continue to go, we'll be moving into wintertime, and the days are get shorter. We came a few years ago, we was coming through the real hot summer. So we go through all the season. It takes approximately 33 years. And, you know, oftentimes the imams have allowed me to go to the board and just give that information. It is very, very simplistic. Sometimes we make things difficult because we're always relying upon other people. And we got to cite it for ourselves, right, Brother Imam?
That's it. That's it. You know, the funny thing about that, though, you know, we've been working with people. We've been doing this process, you know, from the thinking, from the enlightened thinking of our imam. And
yes.
Other national groups have contacted me, said, "Brother, you are doing the way it should be done."
Yes.
In fact, I had one of the top scholars worldwide contact me, said, "Brother, we applaud you, because this is the way to profit." And
that's right.
our whole process that we've established in line of that thinking has been
mm-hmm.
now, and others now are utilizing our even language. We say naked eye sighting. They're using the same language now.
That's
in
right.
In other platforms. So we have driven
the
conversation on that based upon the beautiful insight our imam gave us on how to go to follow that process as was the tradition of our prophet, peace and blessing be upon him.
So in other words, Brother Imam, you're saying our ice is cold too?
That's it. That's it, my brother.
Our fire is hot too.
That's it. Alhamdulillah.
So, Brother Imam, if you would, please, give us some insight, you know, because ultimately, there's a goal that we're looking for, you know, a victory. Usually when you're victorious, what generally follows is a celebration. And when we say, and it is Eid, Imam Muhammad, I remember he did so much, you know, in terms of the spelling to get us to say Eid and not Ed, because he said when we say Ed, he said it was one of the scientists and psychoanalysts that came with that long after the revealing of the Quran, it means something entirely different. And so when he said to us this Eid al-Fitra, And I think that the operative words is a recurring. Anytime we hear the word re, we know that it has happened before. Recurring happiness, you know, recurring happiness, and so we can look at the soul in regards to recurring happiness in terms of the soul. Why? Because it is a returning back to the original nature. It can be classified as a rebirth, as a rebirth. And, you know, it said that, you know, the first 10 days in terms of mercy, and now we're in the latter days of the next 10 days, which we're in now, forgiveness, and mercy being a prerequisite for to be able to forgive. But those last 10 days in terms of emancipation, liberation, freedom, deliverance from the fire, as Imam Muhammad says, the fire of our own passion, that oftentimes it drives us. And so many say the hell fire, but Imam Muhammad say, look, if you take care of that internal fire, like we was talking about the external, the internal, if you take care of that internal fire of passion and desire that we have and put that fire under control, you know, whereas, and we need the passion, we need the desire, the fire that would take us to the Jahannam, but to emancipate ourselves from that wild passion and desire fire that we have from within ourselves, he said that would take care of the of the hellfire in that regard. So he said, yeah, so put your attention on what it is that you need to really put your attention on. And I really appreciate the imam, you know, giving us that insight and wisdom in regard to that. But to take us back to that original nature, Eid al-Fitr, your comments, please.
Yeah, well, alhamdulillah. You know, that's what I'm actually, hopefully by this year I have my book finished, but I've put a lot of research into this concept. When Imam Muhammad talked about this concept of fitra,
mm-hmm.
it sparked my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done years of research on it, and so I'll try to be very, very brief. So this idea of fitra is so profound.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We have two major celebrations in our deen, right? Eid al-Adha, right?
That's right.
And concepts are profound. And Imam had talked a lot about this idea of what is fitra. So what is it? You know, this original pattern in us, right? This the original pattern that Allah has placed in us,
mm-hmm.
that the Eid represents us returning to. It's returning to this original pattern. And
that's
so I began,
right.
I said, what? And then he also said, there are principles to the pattern. He said, there are principles to the pattern. So then my research began to say, what's the pattern and what's the principles? and so the pattern, Allah, he says, it comes out of Allah's creation.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Allah created the heavens and earth bil haq. A pattern that connects us to the truth, right?
That's
a pattern that connects us to the truth. But there are principles, there are universal principles to the truth,
mm-hmm.
in Allah's creation. So what part of my research has identified five universal principles that we find in Allah's creation that resonate throughout his creation, that then also resonate in the human nature.
Yes.
And those five represent oneness that we know in the concept of Tawheed, right?
That's right.
Oneness, we know oneness of Allah, oneness of his universe, oneness
That's
of
right.
humanity. But
yes.
also we have a spirit to connect. We have a spirit to connect. That's why this word al-nas, right? This loving social connection. So we have this spirit to connect to each other and to
That's
connect
right.
to something bigger than ourselves. That's what drives
mm-hmm.
our spirituality, this desire and need to connect to something bigger than ourselves. And ultimately,
mm-hmm.
like Prophet Ibrahim, it takes us back to Allah.
That's right.
So we'll follow ourselves, we'll follow the path in ourselves, and we'll follow the path in creation that will lead us back to the ultimate reality, which is Allah. Then we have the second principle of dynamism, which means
mm-hmm.
this thing of Allah igniting something in life, the spirit
yeah.
of life that moves, that's constantly moving. We know from science that the universe is expanding. Fatara means he created from nothing, right? And Khalaqa
right.
means he brought out that creation. He moved the creation or evolved the creation. That's why the term Rab is used in the terms Khalaqa or he created. So the Rab means he's evolving his creation from stage to stage after he created it from nothing.
That's right.
So that's the process of dynamism, meaning that everything is constantly evolving and moving and changing.
Yes.
And that dynamism is in us, right?
Yes.
And so when Allah says he's guiding us on this Siratul Mustaqim, meaning this guidance is necessary because you're always moving, you're evolving, your consciousness is evolving, so you need the guidance as you
That's
move
right.
from stage to stage in your human development. So I'm being very brief. I'm trying to summarize.
No, you're doing an excellent job. No, no, take your time. We still got a few minutes here, so go ahead, Brother Imam. You're doing an excellent job. Mm-hmm.
And then the third principle is one of diversity. Ironically, diversity comes after the dynamism, right? So from the oneness in every form, and we see in the physical reactions, then that oneness diversifies into other forms, right? So
mm-hmm.
after Allah created the universe from one reality, from one thought, and
yes.
it began that oneness began to diversify into many different life forms, all as a system of life. So yes. In this diversity, Mam says that's how this is a message to leaders. And when he talks about this concept of diversity, Imam Muhammad said, for leaders, I want you to understand this, that people have different aspirations and different desires that you must respect. And as leaders and as people of consciousness, we have to understand, love, and respect the diversity of life and the diversity of opinions and diversity of interests and aspirations.
Yes.
Because that's natural. There's diversity in the Allah's creation, so that we shouldn't think that everything is monolithic. No, we have to find harmony in the diversity.
Yes.
That's what we call the oneness, diversity dynamism, right? Oneness diversity dynamic. We're always in our spirit moving between the oneness and the diversity, and always reconciling the diversity to oneness and understanding how from oneness comes diversity. But that's the dynamic. Then the fourth concept is balance and proportion. He says he creates and balances and proportion. After he creates it, he gives balance and proportion to his creation. Well, we have to find balance and proportion in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from understanding how to balance this oneness, diversity, and what's going on all the time. How do you balance your relationships? How do you balance your deen, right? You know, are you in the masjid all the time and not doing anything in the world, right? Are you praying and not working? So Allah says, I'm in the wa'amilu salihati. So along with your faith comes your work, right?
That's
so
right.
There's a balance. So it's
balance.
A part of this harmonious reality. Do you find balance in your life, and can you balance all of the good things? In Islam, we don't believe in balancing bad things. You know, they have a thing about balancing good and evil. No, we don't do that.
We
take off all the beautiful, the beauty and the excellence of Allah's creation, all the goodness, and we balance that goodness, right? Balance that beauty. We balance that goodness. And we find harmony in that balance for ourselves. And last but not least, the rhythm and harmony, the fifth universal principle. Everything in the creation operates on a rhythm, right?
Oh, yes.
You mentioned the rotation of the earth and the years, how the earth rotates and how we arrive at the 12 months. And there's a rhythm to life. There's a rhythm to everything, right? And we want to find harmonies in that rhythm. And so understanding these five universal principles, it brings about a greater consciousness, but also a greater insight. And that's what leads us to the Il-Aha. So the Fitra and the Aha really connect with each other, right? Going back to your universal self. Because when you talk about the Fitra, you're talking about your universal self at this point.
That's
Allah
right.
is connecting you with your universal self, connecting you with your relationship with Allah's creation and your relationship with Allah's universe. And when Imam Muhammad said, arrive when you come to your universality.
Yes.
When you arrive at your higher self, right? So when you see things at this higher level and not just in a small world, sometimes we see life in a very small terms. Or see things in a very small way. But when we begin to understand that we're connected to something bigger. And that ultimate big, the ultimate is that big book or Allah's, what we call the mother book or Allah's creation. When you connect back with that and understand the connections and see those connections, now you've accomplished the Fitra.
Well, that term alhamdulillah, that he said is cosmic mind.
That's the cosmic man.
That's the cosmic universal man.
Universal consciousness.
Yeah. That's right, universal. And this was obtained, and when we talk about the mirage, this was obtained by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. He came to the realization, but it was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the manifestation of it, you see. And then this helps us, you understand, to come back, like you say, to the Fitra, but it also in terms of the work of responsibility that we have, as Imam Muhammad has described it, is to establish an ethical and a just society. And we saw that in the construction of Medina Munawwara, the city of enlightenment. All of this, you understand, coming, you understand, from that original nature, that original pattern, and as Dr. Bashir Ali so eloquently articulated that, boy, if you didn't have your notebook and pad today, you missed it. But we'll give Rashida Salam an opportunity to say how you can get this, how you can retrieve this, how he can send you the link, and you should share, you know, hopefully you will share this dialogue that I've had with our very scholarly, learned imam, Dr. Bashir Ali. Boy, it's been excellent. And, you know, I'll be remiss, Dr. Ali, without giving you an opportunity to say something in terms of what Allah has blessed you and others to do in terms of, I would say, grooming, especially our young people, you know, just not only imams, but also those that don't even aspire to be imams, but also our sisters, our women in the community that's taking part in this two-year course. Very, very reasonable. I mean, if you had to, really, if you had to pay for the knowledge, the insight, understanding that our young people, and I've had them here on the MGM Roundtable, and it is my plan to have them back individually as they all are in this pilot program, if you will, being the first. But they are outstanding students. They actually stand out. And Dr. Bashir Ali sent me four of his best. And I believe that they can hold their own at the MGM Roundtable. Some of them I know personally. And it's amazing the growth and development in this. And so when we look at that first revelation, as we feast on the Quran in terms of read, it is actually, it should be inferring, implicating to us how important education is, and that for the future leadership and progression, they are already leaders. They're the present, but they really the present, as Imam Muhammad said. Well, anytime there's a homonym, there's a relationship, there's a connection that's there. They are present, and they are the present. And hopefully we can see them, you know, as being that. And we should be willing to want to pass the baton or give them the baton, because in some of our communities that needs to happen for the continued progression. And we'll have Imam Dr. Bashir Ali back, you know, to talk about our communities and what it is that we have to do. And now we're in the stage of doing something about that. And I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you and the work that you're doing and all. And I can't wait to extend that invitation back to you, but also to your very distinguished and esteemed students that you have in this program. So please, take a few minutes to, if you like, how can those who are listening get in touch with you, your outstanding website, give that information. And then, of course, people are going to want to know when the enrollment. I know there's no enrollment right now. It's a two-year course and everything. And whatever information you'd like to get and whatever you like to leave our radio listening audience with on this theme, title in terms of fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. I know I said a lot, but you have an outstanding memory, so you can remember all that. Dr. Bashir Ali, it's all yours.
Well, my dear brother, I'll just
I'll comment on the programmatic part and the young people, because you wanted me to highlight that. And I'll be happy to do that. As you said, we've been working. Actually, we put together a team of some of the best minds in our community for the last 4+ years. Actually, it's almost 5 now.
Yes.
Doing some research on how to put together a quality program to help develop our young leaders, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, so we put some serious effort and we created 3 courses under one program umbrella called Community Leadership, the Islamic Sciences or Islamic Studies, and then with Imam W.D. Muhammad Knowledge Body, right?
Yes.
And so as a result of that, we thought those 3 areas were critically important. How do you when we say community leadership, what do we mean? We don't have a lot of time, so I won't go into depth into it. So,
right.
But they can go to our website.
Yes.
IL, like Islamic Leadership, ILTDP, Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program, ILTDP.com,
mm-hmm.
and they can review the courses, review some videos, look at testimonials from some of the students, and get a better idea of the comprehensive nature of that program. It is phenomenal.
Yeah. It is.
It is phenomenal. So we were very blessed. Some of our leaders, as you said, all of these young people are currently leaders. Some of them are young imams. Some of them are imams, assistant imams, and we have women leaders.
So we
have a beautiful blend of both men and women leaders in that program, and they have grown tremendously. And we thank Allah for their efforts. They thank Allah for their beautiful spirit and their hard work, and it's a rigorous program. It really is like a master's level program. And you don't have to have a degree to participate, but it's at that level.
And so it's going to
challenge you. You're going to be some of the things we discussed today are typical of the curriculum.
Yes, sir.
So we have people in it at all levels of education, some with no degrees, some with bachelor's degrees, and some with master's degrees. And they all say, and particularly the people with master's degrees, said this is master's level work.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point being is this: it's very substantive. It's going to challenge your thinking. It's from the perspective of our method and our community, with centering on the thinking and the interpretations, the language, logic, and thinking of Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Yes.
And we go into the Quran, we go into these big concepts that leaders have to understand, and we look at it from a variety of perspectives, and we challenge their thinking. And praise be to Allah, we've been blessed with some outstanding scholars and young people that they're already leaders, so they're becoming better leaders.
That's right. I bear witness to all of that. I advocate for this dynamic program. It is phenomenal, phenomenal. I've had conversation with Imam Dr. Bashir Ali over the years in how the formation of it and actually the vision and also the mission, I mean the goal and all. You know, you just, as my son Mark Ibn often say, you can't just talk about it, you have to be about it. And so they have been about it and all of this. And so I know I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this question, because I know the people that's listening, after today's Jews, it was mentioned by Rashid Salam. He said, well, we'll have Imam Dr. Bashir Ali on, and what the theme was. But I did promise that I would ask you the question in regards to this, and who is available for And then enrollment. When will be the next time in terms of enrollment? Because I know that our radio listeners, they would like to hear that, and they can start preparing themselves, for that.
Yeah.
And even in terms of sponsorship, there are some I know that have been sponsored. And, you know, how we can make this easy, and especially, it's really geared toward our young people, but there are older members
yeah.
in the community that's in there. So it's not to say that there's an exclusion. It's an inclusion for all that want to learn, from the cradle to the grave. And, of course, this course will help and assist you in terms of actually doing that. But even if you think or feel like, well, that might not be for me because I'm this or that, but then your love and passion that you have, when it's been said in our community over and over again, and we can't, and Imam Muhammad didn't want us to become parrots and just repeat what he said but not do what it is that he's saying in terms of education being our number one priority. I have a real passion for that. Dr. Medina Waikil here, we elated to have her as a leader and also the chairperson of Reopen the Clara Muhammad School, and we're working on the weekend school in terms of education, in terms of Islamic studies. So we can never do enough of this, and I'm obligated to support this program. So if you would, please let it be known in terms of when will enrollment be for the next group, if you will, after this pilot program would end after this 2 years. Dr. Ali?
Yes, we have actually, if you go to their website, there's a sign-up sheet for the waiting list, right?
Okay.
And so people can get on the waiting list right now, meaning they'll be in the queue for the next class. And we're currently in the fifth quarter of our pilot year,
mm-hmm.
our pilot program, excuse me. And so the next program will start late December, early January. I can't remember the exact dates, but somewhere around
okay.
that time.
Okay.
But if you go to the website, it will tell you. So we purposely had a pilot so that we could go through the program the first year and then analyze it. So during this month of Ramadan, we're working with our entire team. We're analyzing every aspect of our first year's program, right? And we're having conversations among all the different teams. We're fine-tuning things. We're making adjustments to make sure that everything is kind of connected and coherent between
mm-hmm.
the three courses. And it's we call it course integration. So we're going through that process now. So that was part of our design from the beginning, is to go to a one-year program, analyze it, and then make adjustments, and then, inshallah, complete the two-year program. And then from that, move forward with the full program starting in either late December, early January.
Okay.
So alhamdulillah, we're right on course with everything. People can go to that website, look at the information, call us if you have any questions, contact us. We'll follow up with you and or get on the waiting list, and there's no cost. But there is a tuition for the program. It's a two-year program, and there's a tuition per year, $1,000 each year. But we were saying to people that, this is a minimum
mm-hmm.
payment, but we want the community to sponsor our leaders, right? So
yes.
whatever investment that person wants to make is fine, but we want the community to assist them with scholarships because it's a harmonious relationship between leadership and community.
Yes.
So if we want leaders at every level. And this is not only imams, but including imams, but also community leaders, shura board leaders, principals, educators, teachers at all levels.
Mm-hmm.
We want the community to help support them. And let me say this, and you and I have talked about this in the past.
Yes.
One of our big challenges, and we're going to have a conference on this later on this fall, inshallah, and we'll give you some more information on it. But one of our big challenges going forward is how do we protect and sustain our community life? How do we got people taking over our masjids in some cases throughout
yes.
the country, because we don't have sufficient enough leaders to step forward. You know, sometimes when the imam retires or steps down or passes away, there's nobody to take their place.
Yes.
Because we haven't generated enough leaders to make sure that we can stabilize and protect our communities. So this is a very important issue. We want to make sure that every community, if your imam, or something gets happens to that person, that brother, mm-hmm. or someone maybe it's a sister, there's a phenomenal leader in that community. What happens if they pass away?
That's right.
Do we have the intellectual or the human talent to replace them, right? The human capital to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is serious. So we have to look around in our masjids, in our Islamic communities, to see, do we have the talent pool to
mm-hmm.
make sure our community is evolving, developing in a healthy way, and can continue on in the future? And do we have successors? Do we have assistants? Do we have people behind the current leadership that can step up and keep things going with the same insight, understanding, and knowledge and wisdom as what we currently have?
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, you know, very well said, Dr. Bashir Ali. And, I say ditto to all of this that you're saying. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you remember, I said that I really want to have a round table with you and other leaders in the community. And that question that you just raised, it's a rhetorical question now, but that is a question. That is one of the questions that we have to answer. We have to answer that. We got to stop ignoring, as they say, that proverbial elephant in the room with the pink slip on. We have to stop ignoring that this is relevant to us as a community, and we have an obligation and responsibility to make sure, and it should be a community responsibility. We need to look at that. The sponsorship, you know, should come if we have young imams. And if we have older imams, we want everybody to be on board on this ship, and that everybody has a responsibility, to select. Imam Muhammad said this. He said leadership is in the resourceful people in the community. Question, how many resourceful people do we have in the community? Question, can we have too many resourceful people in the community? Or do we have, as Imam Dr. Bashir Ali is asking, who would step up? Who's qualified to step up? We know the sisters can't be imams. They can be leaders in the community. But who would be the resident imam? Think about that. And if you can't answer in a spontaneous way, then this is all the reason. Those of you who listen across the country, you know, in your local masajids and Islamic centers, that it should be a representative, at least one or two, from every community to be a part of that program. I'm endorsing that. This is needed. It's necessary. As a learned person and a pioneer, Imam Dr. Bashir said he came in 1970. I was already in the community 3 years before then, 1967. So I know, I understand the importance. Dr. Bashir Ali, I'm going to give you 2 to 3 minutes for any closing remarks. And of course, you didn't give that website. Is that IWDM? Give them the website, and then take your 2 or 3 minutes for any closing remarks on this topic. What would you like to leave the radio listening audience with, Dr. Ali?
Of course. Alhamdulillah, my dear brother. It's going to be less than that because I've got a 2 o'clock meeting, so it's going to be right at it's going to be 2 minutes exactly. So
okay.
Alhamdulillah, just thank you and your radio audience for the beautiful conversation, and thank you for the tradition that you continue about this beautiful tradition and in the month of Ramadan for these in-depth discussions. I will leave you with the website. Both the website for the educational program is iltdp.com, and for the community website at large, which you can also connect with the iltdp, is the iwdmcommunity.com.
Yes.
It's very easy to remember, iwdmcommunity.com. And that's our master website that has all kind of information on the announcements, on the programs, on the initiatives, information that we share with the community on a regular basis. So either one of those websites will connect you with the other. And we thank Allah for all the great work that everyone is doing around the country, because it's truly a team effort. It's a community effort. Imam wanted us to come into a community consciousness. And that's what we've been working toward, and that's our mission, is to work toward to build community consciousness and community competency. And so we thank Allah for all of those institutions, including yours, the IWDM radio station, you and your team, and all those other team members that work on this program and all the other great programs, as well all the other institutions in our community that work toward building community life. We thank Allah for them. We thank Allah for you. And may Allah bless you all to stay, keep the work up, and bring new blood in, and keep the process going into the future, because we have a lot of work to do, and it will extend beyond our lifetime. And we have to have that vision beyond our physical life and understand that this mission goes into the future. We thank Allah for all of you. Peace and blessings. As-salamu alaykum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Alaykum as-salam and Ramadan Mubarak to you and your community there. Please extend the greetings of peace and a blessed Ramadan to your community there in Peoria. Thank you so much. As always, there you have it, radio listening audience, a special edition of the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, in the fifth year of this theme, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. One of my very scholarly learned Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, sharing with us great insight on this theme and topic. Hopefully you took some good notes. It seemed like everybody was just absorbing the information today, but that's good. Alhamdulillah. We want to say that the beat goes on here at IWDM Radio, as tomorrow, which is Sunday, the longest running production here on IWDM Radio, is Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, on Words Make People. That's each and every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time. It's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And the beginning of the week, a new production has been on a little over a month now. It is ABC. Yeah, ABC. And not like the network that we used to watch it on TV. It is Al-Islam-based conversation with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam, my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha. He hosts that production. It's a one-hour production on the Ramadan schedule. It starts at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it is 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. That's Al-Islam-based conversation. Make sure that you invite a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, a community member, because it's difficult to have a conversation just by yourself, and I'm quite sure he would appreciate you tuning in each and every Monday evening. Every Tuesday evening is on the Ramadan schedule. I'm a very distinguished, esteemed engineer, but he's a very distinguished, esteemed host here, along with his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, as a host. You each and every Tuesday evening on the Ramadan schedule, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. You need to bring your pen and pad. And for the month of Ramadan, it begins at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 4 p.m. Central Standard Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Also on the Ramadan schedule, our very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slodin. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we are zeroing in on Ramadan and how Ramadan has a positive effect on how to reconstruct the destructive family life. You don't want to miss that. That's for just the month of Ramadan. We began at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 4 p.m. Central Standard Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And it is 1 hour in this blessed month of Ramadan. And then Thursday, the Sister Learning Lab with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Quran Shakir, from the ATL. That is Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shahid, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And you most definitely don't want to miss that, because we're looking at how Ramadan can have a positive effect on the sacred institution of marriage, and even for those who are aspiring to be married that's in the courtship phase. So please tune in this Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And then Friday is Salat Jumu'ah Day. Muslim worldwide, those who are immobilized, can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Mikhail Sayer each and every Friday. It begins at 2 p.m. Eastern, it's 1 p.m. Central, and it's 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And all through the month of Ramadan, you just heard it live, the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, that's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shahid, as we will have another very learned, scholarly person from our community that I will be dialoguing with on the theme and the topic, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. That will happen during the month of Ramadan, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, is high noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Make sure that you alert your family, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, your community members to tune in to all of these productions. This is a lot of great information and education that's needed by you and yours. And so I want to thank our radio listening audience for tuning in. Hopefully you benefited greatly, because without you, there can't and wouldn't be an IWDM radio nor an MGM roundtable. And a special thanks goes to my good brother and friend, none other than Rashid Salam, the incomparable Rashid Salam, always there. And until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Alhamdulillah.